All right. What is up, Coach? Man, feels like it's been a whole year.
It's been a minute. Well, it was last year.
It was last year. The first major UFC pay-per-view of 2024 starts us off with a complete blood feud that started in the mean streets of the T-Mobile Arena front row. Wow. What did you think of Strickland parting the kids and then politely engaging in mutual combat with Wendrikus Duplessis? Did you think anything else was going to happen when they said that Sean and Enriquez were sitting literally next to each other front row at a pay-per-view?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm conspiracy minded, so I think everything is a show. I think everything is preordained, prearranged. Honestly, if they didn't have the beef, there wouldn't be the interest that there is now. So it's selling the show. So,
what you're telling me is that because this fight is interesting, people are tuning in.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Exactly. Because
there wasn't at its finest for sure.
There wasn't much story there. There wasn't much drama there. So they created some drama, you know, and Strickland is a drama machine, you know? So.
Yeah, the guy can talk, that's for sure. Whether or not I can understand it or reason with it or agree with it is one thing, but words come out of his mouth at a rate that is as fast as his punches, I'd say for sure. And this, I mean, essentially what started this was Drikas was supposed to have that Australian fight against Israel that they ended up giving to Sean for some reason. I don't know the politics behind that. I don't know if they were trying to just feed a lamb to Israel for that fight and thought maybe it was too soon for Israel to lose the title to Drikas. I don't know if that was the equation they had in the mind.
Drikas had to
prove himself again with that match against, you know, former champ Robert Whittaker, with which completely undeniable after that match that he is definitely the rightful number one contender, no matter who had the belt.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember what happened. It was an injury or a weight cut. I don't know. I don't remember what happened. Why?
I think it was an audible. I think Dana just said fuck it and just switched the cards on people. I don't think there was an injury. I don't remember there being an injury that caused that. I remember them giving it to Drikas after his I have it right here, after his Brunson fight, I guess. I mean, I guess you can get a title shot off of Brunson, who is also a former title contender, back in March. Or was it Till? It might have been off of Till. I think Till was the fight that he made in that shot.
I'll take your word for it, Chris.
I watched the press conferences. Things happen.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, and in less than 24 hours, we are going to find out the mean streets of Riverside, California, or the mean streets of Johannesburg, South Africa. Technically, he's from Hatfield, Pretoria, Transvaal, South Africa. Shout out to wherever the fuck that is.
Wow. Wow.
I like this fight. I'm going to be standing the entirety from – I'm going to be standing from the moment the – I don't know if they still play that Stem song, Bring the Pain, but they should bring that song back for this fight. And I will be standing from bell to bell watching this from probably the privacy of this room right here. Yelling, screaming, ducking punches that I have no idea what I'm doing until it's over. And I don't have a favorite per se as far as like who I want to win. This is, I think, one of those fights where as the fight progresses, I start rooting for who's putting on the performance.
Mm.
There's plenty of fights where I've been like, I want this guy or I don't want that guy. And then they start doing some magic in there. And I'm like, oh shit, go and get it. This might be one of those fights.
Yeah.
And we're going to break down how we think it's going to play out for both sides.
Which is kind of speaking to what you and I were talking about earlier, where if they didn't have the heat between each other, if there wasn't the drama, if there wasn't the fight, you know, we really wouldn't care, right? It's like, I don't have, well, me personally, I do have a,
I know what you're saying. You're saying the casual may not care.
Right. And And
that's who doesn't buy the pay-per-views.
Exactly. Exactly. But now, I don't know. It's a great matchup. It's a great fight. Mm-hmm. My perspective is probably different than the majority of people. Definitely different than the odds makers. But it's still like, all right, you got this athletic specimen of a freak, and then you got the spoiler, right? You know, the party pooper, the guy that just kind of crashes the party and pisses in the punch bowl. And
well, I mean, I'm going to say literally as well as figuratively, for sure. And I know that, I know you're talking about Sean with that one, for sure. That's how obvious. He's been to some parties. He's not shy about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And this is punchbowl, definitely. And this is styles make fights. And this is definitely like two guys who I would say are fighters at their core who happen to be athletic, as opposed to the difference that people have between an athlete and a fighter. We obviously know the river. What do they call him at the gym? Deshaun Strickland grew up on the mean streets of the 909 out in Riverside, California. And I can't imagine the South Africa being any easier. So these are guys who I think probably had a couple of tussles outside of the cage before they were able to harness it into obviously professional fighters. But I do think that their styles are completely different, where I think Sean does play a better long game when he's not getting stopped within two, which does not happen often. So I'm not going to make that a point of pattern for him. I'm not going to say this guy always gets stopped early. He only has one or two actual KO losses in his life. I mean, his only two finishes are two losses by KO. Pereira was early in the first, and the other one was mid in the first by Lazier. Eliezer Zaleskis Dos Santos, the spinning wheel kick. I think that's the same guy that spin wheel kicked a couple other people too.
Yeah. A true capoeirista.
Yeah. Brazil.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, there's always a feeling and about then, losing, but no shame to that guy for sure.
And then the fractured orbital at welterweight from Usman. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And looks like the same, I mean, few and far between for the finishes. The only two losses on Andrikis's record 6 years ago was a KO in KSW, and then 10 years ago, almost a sub choke in EFC, which I know a lot of MMA, I have no idea what the EFC is. I'm assuming that's in definitely South Africa. So,
right. Yeah. And even DDP would tell you a lot of the earlier promotions that he fought in were smaller backyard South African, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, which kind of, it really makes his strength of schedule dubious. It makes it questionable. So Strickland, his strength of schedule isn't necessarily top tier, but it's high grade, you know. Coming from King of the Cage, coming off the regional scene of SoCal. SoCal.
Almost exclusively only King of the Cage in UFC for Sean Strickland. That is as hometown of a hero as you can get for someone from Southern California, for sure.
There you go.
He has, the one fight that's not in UFC or King of the Cage was Long Beach Fight Night 7 in Long Beach. so, yeah, the dude, I mean, didn't fight outside of California until, I guess, his UFC debut, Dallas, Texas, and then has only been back to California twice since then. So,
yep.
Cool. And then Drake is probably the same. South Africa and then some European dates, and then obviously UFC Abu Dhabi and then the rest are Vegas. Yep. Their schedules are very similar. They've been fighting, I'd say, roughly around the same amount of time as far as professionally goes. 28-5 for Strickland versus 20-2 for Drikas. So experience also Cage IQ brought up that Sean has fought at welterweight, and I've seen those pictures of him with the emo haircut, and they are disturbing.
That was a long time ago.
That was a while ago. He was really, I mean, I don't know how you get from that size to this. I don't understand physics, man. Like, some dudes, they just go from, like, 170, 5'10", to whatever Sean is now, 6'1", to probably 100 exactly on a bad day.
Yeah, he was skinny when he was fighting at welterweight, and I always looked at him and I always told him, man, you're not a welterweight, bro. Like, you're a legit middleweight. And he never listened to me, but
yeah, he's also dabbled at 205 as well. So obviously,
yeah, Sean doesn't really listen to anybody, which that might surprise you guys, but
yeah. Did he not listen to, even to his coach, the, Eric Nixick? He's yep. Like notorious for like, fuck, I mean, I want to say fuck that guy because they're best friends, but like, I think something in the Izzy fight he was calling for, and he was like, nah.
Yeah. No, his coach from Quest in, I'm blanking on.
Hemet or Temecula?
Temecula, thank you. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I was, Tarzana was sticking in my head, and I'm like, that's not right. But for, you know, we'd be watching the sparring and I'd turn to his coach and I'd ask him a question. He's like, bro, I've been trying to get him to stop doing that for 15 years. Okay. I'll just shut up and go away then.
It's only two losses or two or three losses, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the other sound, thing.
Right? I just sound broken at this point. But what do I know? I'm just an armchair cornerman for sure.
Yeah.
So now it just comes down to the styles of the fight. And like I said earlier, Sean, I think he fights a long game for sure. I think the Izzy fight was a great example of that. Not that he couldn't finish him in the first. Izzy is tough. Wild that he got out of that flurry up against the cage, but Sean was able to maintain and go all five with him, which I think is a way more masterful performance to do what he did to Izzy over the course of 25 minutes, which is why to me it's a more impressive upset than Matt Serra over GSP, because GSP hit him, finished him, followed up one round.
Yeah.
If GSP survived that, would have Serra been able to control him for another 24 minutes, 20 yeah. minutes? I don't think so. Where
I
Sean
agree with
was
that.
Patient, picked his shots, you know, the Philly shell, which I don't know anything about besides it's from Philly and it's called the Philly shell.
Yeah, that irritates me a little bit. Not you, but like people call it a modified Philly shell, and it is not. It's more of a modified old school American, or even you could even say modified fisticuff, but it's not a Philly shell. Philly shell is completely sideways bladed. This and
is that like the George Foreman thing where it's almost like this?
No, that's the complete opposite. Oh, okay. Floyd Mayweather is the quintessential Philly right. shell fighter. And then James Toney calls it the Detroit shell, but with a Philly shell,
I think we need to see James Toney versus Mayweather to solve that.
Yeah. Well, I'd love that, man.
I would love that.
With the Philly shell, your shoulder is facing the opponent, and you can't do that in MMA because you're giving your back, but Strickland doesn't do that. Strickland is almost a little more square.
Yeah, all the photos of him, at least due to angles of the photographer. But yeah, he was mostly squared up at him.
Yeah.
And that might have been an adjustment because MMA.
I don't think
Izzy was going to go for takedowns, but you never know.
The reason people call it a Philly shell is because Strickland often will fold the lead arm across his body, which you do in a Philly shell. But other than that, there's no similarity to a Philly shell in what Strickland does.
All right, you hear that, Filthy Casuals? It is not the Philly shell. It is the Strickland shell. Look it
yes.
up. It's real.
There you go. It's the Strickland clam.
Yeah.
Now,
Jesus Christ. Nina Marie Media. Dude, she's been putting in work on these boys. She basically is like covering like everything they're doing 24/7.
Wow, you jumped to there. Okay. Ah.
Okay. I mean, I like to make. I,
damn.
I joke, man. I got to keep the lights, and I appreciate her in the business for sure. I'm sure there's a lot of like hate thrown her way from dudes who can't. You know, I have this saying: if they can't fuck you, they'll fight you, and that's the only reason like women in media I think are constantly just getting clowned on. But I think she's funny.
Yeah, I think she's cool.
I think she keeps up. She keeps up too, and she doesn't get paid. She does not get paid. You seen the shit like what Tom Aspinall did to her? I'm like, bro, that was the worst thing I've ever heard as far as that kind of joke goes.
Mm.
And, but anyways, she's been covering these guys nonstop. These jokes are not getting any worse.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of cool footage. We're getting a lot of footage about them. Like, we're getting to know them for sure.
Yeah. So, what's your pick? What do you think?
So what I want to talk to you about now is you talking about Dricus's style, which is a lot more caveman. And I feel like if he doesn't finish you soon, he's not finishing you at all. I feel like he is that guy who will run the gas tank. He'll blitzkrieg. Like if Robert Whittaker had gotten out of that first round, where would that have left Dricus in the second round? Obviously, that didn't happen, so we didn't need to get that question answered in that fight. But I think this is one of the fights where Sean has the advantage in the deep water, but I think Dricus is going to come out hard. Yeah. And whether or not Sean survives that is going to make or break every round after the first.
I just had this this idea, which now makes me sound kind of stupid because it's like, duh. But both of these fighters do everything technically wrong. They have completely different styles.
Yeah.
But Strickland, pretty much his training is sparring. He doesn't really drill. He doesn't really work the bag. He just almost exclusively spars, whether that's boxing, MMA, kickboxing, or ground fighting, you know,
jiu-jitsu. And he does that. We're seeing footage of him recently, even just sparring three people at one time.
I don't know if that's for the show, you know, for the clicks.
It might be.
But I, you know, he, so he's not, in his methodology, in his stance, even as an MMA fighter. So he is very unorthodox. The way he stands, the way he fights, he doesn't really integrate striking with grappling. He strikes and he defends the grappling, and he kind of kicks, but he's not really. It's like this modified boxing, almost exclusively. And his training is very non-traditional, and a lot of people would say it's wrong. And then you got Duplessis, who overthrows, overcommits, steps through and shifts his stance on almost every rear hand punch, covers too much distance. So, but because of his explosiveness and his athleticism, he knocks people out. He gets it done. He finishes people. So it's going to be fascinating. But I just now, when I was thinking about it, it was like, oh, wait a second. Both these guys are technically wrong. And that's the middleweight champion. And this is the number one contender. So that's a fascinating perspective.
Yeah, the way it looks to me is that Sean is a street fighter that learned how to professionally fight, and I feel like Dricus is the opposite, where he's like a professionally trained fighter who gets in there and turns them into street fights.
Yeah, and I don't know, because like the stance switch, the step through, the overswing, I don't know where that came from, but I his coaches are doing it on the mitts. They're work, you know, they're acting as though this is like part of the martial art that he learned. And it's like, Oh, did somebody teach him that? Or did somebody just like, well, this is what he fucking does, and I'm going to learn how to hold mitts for this fucking beast.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
But. Yeah. So that being said, man, like, this is still, they have, odds have Duplessis is plus 100, which, how many, I mean, there's probably a listing of how many times.
So the odds have changed since I looked at it.
This is according to CBS Sports. Okay. I'm assuming that's as recently as right now.
Yeah. Says, I thought DDP was favored.
Doesn't that what that means is Dricus is says money line plus 100 on Dricus. Doesn't that mean that he's plus 100 to win? KJIQ, you're the guy that understands odds. If you're still with us, let us know what plus 100 means on Dricus. That means that if you bet money on him, you have to bet at least $100 to win $1. I think that's how it was explained to me by Frank Mir. I don't know if he's the best person to. Cool.
I thought the negative odds were the favored.
Yeah, that's a good question. I still don't understand odds. Yes, this Pop. Yes, Poppy, I got it right. Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
I understood something.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. As far as picking the plus 100 means, if you bet 100, you get 100 back on top. So you break even if you bet 100. So you have to break 200 to make 100 profit, 300 to make 200 profit, something like that, or like. So you have to make at least $100 to break even. I guess. Plus 100 means if you bet 100, you get. I can come and explain if needed. I think that makes sense to me, for sure. No, it doesn't make sense. For every $10 you bet, you win $1.
The favored fighter has a plus or a minus.
That's the question.
That's the question.
Cool. Okay, so if you put so that means he's the underdog. So I mean, if you put 100 on Dricus, you're getting 200 back. Oh, righty then. So the odds are not that crazy, but still, Dricus
right.
is still
listening. But earlier this morning, when I was realizing that I had a podcast to do, I was looking at the odds, and I thought I remember DDP being favored,
but not by much. It seems if it's only 100, I guess because
one is flipping back and forth. So
yeah,
that's cool.
And those odds, those change. I mean, up until during
they even during the fight,
rounds,
yeah.
between rounds yeah. too, which is wild. As long as Drake doesn't bet, I think you're good.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to get into politics. I do not agree with 99% of the shit that Sean Strickland talks about. He is very open-mouthed, but not open-minded. I disagree with most of his politics. He has a lot of controversial opinions I do not like. He's not afraid to tell you them. I do like the way he says things. I do not like the way what he says. That being said,
that's like the freedom of speech. You know, I don't like what you say, but I agree with your right to say it.
But I mean, like, besides the things I disagree with, I like how he gets annoying. He gets very annoying very quickly.
Yeah, and it's for show. It's for the kids.
Well, I think that's for him. I think that's him for sure. I think he's hyped, and I think that he just has ADD brain. I think he's just straight up just like, he just is what it is. I think he's probably the youngest person to have CTE in the sport. And I like Dricus a lot. I would love to see a South African champ. I think Dricus can get it done. I think Dricus's power is probably going to connect sooner than accumulation of punches that I think Sean's going to need to finish this fight. Dricus has finished 50% of his fights by knockout and 49% of them by sub and only one decision. Sean is not that. Sean does not have the one punch KO power. I would almost say he doesn't even have the killer instinct to finish a fight as quickly as he would need to survive anything that lands from Dricus. And for that, I have to go with Dricus in two. I will say it's going to be a TKO very similar to what happened to Robert Whittaker. If Dricus gets out of that second round, I'm going Sean with decision, but we're picking one fighter here, and unfortunately it has to be Dricus.
Okay. How's this for crazy? I actually – so as you mentioned, Strickland is not a knockout artist. He's not a finisher. But I've been doing a lot of watching a lot of tape, watching a lot. The hole that I see in Duplessis while he is taking the big swing and stepping through on his stance, for the jab dominant, pressure dominant timing, I think Strickland gets a knockout. Yeah.
The way this happens is
it's not about the power of Strickland. That's not it. It's about the timing of landing as Duplessis is stepping through, because Duplessis swings his rear hand as he steps his rear foot. So he starts out orthodox, steps through to southpaw. So he's stepping forward as he's throwing his big attack, and there's a big window, and I can see Strickland landing on the chin as Duplessis is moving forward and creating a car crash situation, and essentially doubling Strickland's power.
In physics, we call that inertia.
Yeah, nice. So, I see that happening. I see that happening around the third round. And I think Strickland is going to do what Strickland does. he's going to crash in. He's going to pick his shots. And Duplessis is going to swing. And it's going to be big. And it's going to be messy. But I think somewhere in the middle of the third round, Strickland's going to get that knockout, which, you know, it sounds crazy to say, but you know what else sounds crazy to say? Strickland beating Izzy.
Yeah.
For five rounds straight.
Yeah. There wasn't even a second. I couldn't time 1 second that Izzy won that fight. Like, there wasn't any windows where the wheels were going in his favor at all in that fight.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing to remember is Strickland has been training with Teixeira and Poatan.
Going to Danbury, or they've been coming to him?
Oh, he's been going out to Connecticut.
Okay.
And it's like, after training with, you know, those monsters and that kind of power, You get desensitized to the power, and then you start to see the timing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Strickland's been in the ring with some really high-level boxers. And you could not do what DDP does in boxing. You would get slept immediately.
Right.
But I think – well, anyway, I think I'm repeating myself at this point. It seems unreasonable. It seems unlikely. But it's what I see.
And I'm not saying I don't like it. I think this is the first time we've actually not picked the same fighter in a main event, which is controversial to say the least. But I hope it's a spirited performance. One thing I hope Sean brings to the table is, remember that Jack Marshman fight where he was just talking his head off, popping shots at him? I hope.
Jack, come on, Jack.
Hit me, Jack. God damn it. That was the best talking performance of a guy who actually won a fight I can ever think. I mean,
you know, Strickland has merchandise. Strickland has merchandise now. So if you want to make a Canada or make Canada great That's again,
not a place.
Canada? No.
Watchinata?
There's a restaurant there called The Dish, which is quite lovely.
Shout out to The Dish. Thank you for not gatekeeping a restaurant. We have La Cunada, which is a Flint Ridge. If you know, you know. Well, I appreciate your time. It is good to be back. This felt like home. I love shooting the shit with you. And give you some platform. Do you have anything coming up? Any fights at Commerce? Any pro wrestling? Talk about
last minute. Last minute title fight. So Cameron Fardad stepped in literally with less than 2 weeks' notice for organization called Up Next. So Up Next Fighting.
What's Up Next?
Cameron is up next. So that is next Saturday. And I'll tell you, he's turning pro. So he's right at the end. He wasn't going to take any more amateur fights. And so he was doing a lot of weightlifting to get his lean mass or his body composition up. And so he was 189. And for this fight, it's same day weigh-in. So you can't do the, you know, the dehydration, rehydration things. But he weighed, well, I don't know if I can tell the exact weight, but point is, in less than 2 weeks, he's going to be 170. He's got a dangerous opponent ahead of him, but we got that coming up. And then I'm sure we have some stuff in February, but that's the one that popped to mind, because it was just like short notice and here we go.
Awesome. Well, if you want to keep up to date with what Coach has going on in the world, go check him out, Coach Rage, at IR Fighting Systems, EYR, everywhere you watch your fights. Circle of Debate, Title Fight Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning back in. I cannot wait to talk about the results. I can't wait to watch this fight. You guys have a good night. We will see you. We're not sure when the results podcast is, but we'll keep you up to date. Hit the like button, subscribe, follow, click, click, click. Love you guys. Peace.